Hello, this is Ahuka, and welcome to the latest program. I want to do something a little bit different. I just finished a long series called Freedom is Not Free, and I thought that was important stuff to talk about, but I want to do something a little bit different today, talk about something maybe a little more technical than what I did before, and that is I want to talk about how you can save programs from TiVo. My wife and I both love TiVo, and I know I've thought about MythTV, and I may go there at some point, but I'm actually pretty happy with TiVo right now. And we record programs. In fact, in my household, we have his and her setups. She has her own television, TiVo, DVD player, what have you, and I have mine. So, and I record programs of various kinds, and some of them I want to keep, you know, for future reference. One of the things that I really enjoy are great performances at the Met, where they broadcast operas from the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and I happen to be a fan of that sort of thing. And I would love to keep those. Well, you know, if I just left them on TiVo, the hard drive there does fill up. So that's not really a very good option. So what I found I needed to do was find some way to get the programs off of TiVo, get them onto my hard drive, and figure out what to do. And yeah, I started looking around, and TiVo does have a program, if you're on Windows, that you could use. It's the TiVo To Go desktop program, and that allows you to download the stuff, and you can buy that program from TiVo, and they have an arrangement with Roxio, that the Roxio DVD recorder will take those files. And the thing I need to explain to you is that the files are essentially MPEG, but they've got some proprietary stuff, DRM basically. That means you can't just treat it as an ordinary MPEG file and go with it. But Roxio knows how to handle that. And on Windows, that's a, you know, reasonable way to go, I suppose. But I you know, I don't really use Windows all that much. So what are the options if you have a Linux setup and you would like to keep these files? And I did a little looking around, and I think I have the answer now. So I want to explain what you need to do to take files off of your TiVo, convert them, edit them, save them, burn them to a DVD, whatever it is that you want to do. So that's really the topic of this program. Now, the first thing I want to do is just mention that there is this program called KMTTG, and I've put all of the links for this and for every other program that I mention. The links are all in the show notes, so please don't worry if you can't get it out of what I'm saying here, that they will all be there. So KMTTG. And if you want to find it, it's at http://code.google.com/p/KMTTG. Again, all of this stuff is in the show notes, so don't worry about it. So if you download this program, really all you have to do, you don't even install it so much as you just you know, it's a tarball, and you just expand it into a directory. I've got it in my home directory on my Kubuntu box, and then you can just run it from there. Just make sure that you've marked the file KMTTG as executable, and it'll run. Well, it'll run when you've got all the pieces in place. That's the other thing about this. You cannot run this without first having the Java runtime environment. Okay, now Generally speaking, I suggest that if you're going to get something like the Java runtime environment, I prefer to do it from the repository for my distro. Now, mine is Kubuntu, but whatever your distro is, chances are they've got Java runtime environment in the repositories there. And the reason I recommend that is that it's likely to work a little bit better if there are any changes that needed to be made to make it work with your particular distro. That should already have happened, so that kind of makes sense. So that's a dependency for KMTTG. Now, if it was actually packaged the way that Linux programs are normally packaged by the different distros, that would have been taken care of. But as I said, this isn't really packaged, it's just this tarball you expand and then you run. So what you need to know is install the Java runtime environment first. So that's the first thing you have to do. Second thing, at the same site that has KMTTG, there is a helper program called TiVo Decode, and you need to download that. Well, TiVo Decode is important because remember what I said before about TiVo files have a little bit of proprietary stuff in the file format that makes them unreadable to normal video players and CD burners, DVD burners, what have you. So what you need to do is you need to transcode from the TiVo format into a standard format. And that's what TiVo Decode is for. Now, I say you can download TiVo Decode from the same page, same site as KMTTG. It's a great little helper program, but it is source code only. And what that means is you're going to have to download the source code and compile it and install it. Now, that's not that big a deal. Most people who have been running Linux for a while have done this many times. But it is, basically you have to do dot slash configure, then make install. And I've got some stuff on my website about that, or just look it up on any, there's a ton of different sites that explain how to do it. We call it the three-step dance, or whatever you want to call it. Dot slash configure, make install. Very, very simple. And then once you do that, you can now download and convert all of the programs that are on your TiVo. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is the various helper programs. What KMTTG is doing is basically treating your TiVo box like a remote server and logging into it and grabbing the files. And it uses curl, CURL. And that's a standard Linux program that is used to grab things over the internet. So you can probably, I would again say, go to your distro's repository, whatever that is, and grab curl and install it. During the KMTTG, when you open it up, there's a place that you can configure that program. And when you configure it, it'll want to know where do I find this? So you can put the path to curl in there. Couple of other helper programs that you will definitely want to have. One is MENCODER, MENCODER. The other is FFmpeg, FFmpeg. Now, chances are that FFmpeg, you may well have that installed already. You might also have MENCODER installed already, but if not, again, go to the repository for your distro. That's really, I think, the best way for most people to do that. And the reason you want to have those is that's going to allow you to basically transcode the file. The TiVo decode is going to remove the TiVo special stuff, but you may want to transcode it into some other kind of file format, and this will give you an opportunity to do some of that. And KMTTG can do some of that as part of the download if it can make use of these other kind of helper programs. Another helper program I want to mention is Handbrake. And that's at http://handbrake.fr/downloads.php. Right? Handbrake.fr, it's a French site, /downloads.php. And the reason you want to have Handbrake, and it's not absolutely essential, it depends on what you want to do. The Handbrake is a program that it specializes in transcoding video files into formats that'll play on mobile devices. So your smartphone, your tablet, things like that. It's specialized for doing that. So that's a good thing. If you wanted to, you know, put something on a tablet or a smartphone, I think Handbrake would be a very handy way to do that. And so I would suggest you download that. You may find that it gives, I know for Ubuntu, it mentions a Debian repository. I've had problems with it. I don't know if the problems are just me. I once wrote to the maintainer, and he sort of asked me a question. I answered the question, and I never heard anything from him. So, you know, I don't know. I don't, as it turns out, I don't actually need to have Handbrake, so I decided I could live without it. Another program. The last two helper programs I'm going to mention are Windows only. Now, KMTTG could be run as a Windows program. And TiVo Decode, I'm not exactly sure how you start dealing with all of this stuff that has to be compiled or getting out of repositories. But these last two things are Windows programs, which means you're going to have to run them with Wine if you want to use them. And the first one I'm going to mention is ComSkip, and that's for skipping commercials. And it also has a program called ComClean that will actually delete the commercials out of the file. And that's all part of that. So that is http://www.kaashoek.com/comskip. And so you can get the program there. As I say, you're going to have to set it up to run with Wine. So little additional wrinkle. And then finally, I'm going to mention something called Atomic Parsley, which is at http://atomicparsley.sourceforge.net. And that is a program that basically is for writing meta tags, and it says that it writes it in the iTunes format. That's not something I particularly care a whole lot about, so I'm just mentioning that it's there. Now, let's say you want to run KMTTG. Well, that's not hard to do. As I said, you would have expanded, untarred all of this into a directory. Mine is in my home directory, just /KMTTG. And there is a program there. It's just called KMTTG. No file extension or anything. And, you know, that's your executable. So if you haven't already done so, make sure you mark it as an executable file. And then just run it. And that's going to come up, and it's going to give you a screen. And if you take a look at the file menu, there's an option that says configure. And so you can get into the configure. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. But a couple of things I want to mention. Programs. So I mentioned curl, all right? So on the Programs tab, you would go to put in the path, which on mine is slash usr slash bin slash curl. TiVo decode, all right? So on mine, that's, slash home slash Kevin, that's my actual name, slash KMTTG slash TiVo decode slash, blah, blah, blah. Mencoder slash USR slash bin slash mencoder. FFmpeg slash USR slash bin slash FFmpeg, etc. Now, it will, when you install KMTTG, it'll put in the most common path. And if you then try and save your configuration and there's something not wrong, it's going to say, hey, there's some errors here. So, for instance, on mine, I open it up, I take a look at this, and I say, okay, fine, I'm finished configuring this, and I get two errors. Well, they're highlighted. One of them is Handbrake, because I don't have Handbrake installed. And the other is Atomic Parsley, because I don't have Atomic Parsley installed. So it's looking for those where it thinks it would be, but it's not finding them. So, proceed to save settings anyway? Yeah, sure. Save settings anyway. Another thing you need to take a look at, the fourth tab in, is TiVos. Now, it used to be harder, but now they've gotten to the point where they can kind of search the network. And I have a home network, and I've got both my TiVo and my wife's. And so it'll just take a look on the network and come back and say, hey, here's this DVR on the network, and it's got an IP address 192.168.1.16. And yeah, it sounds about right. Now, if you could put in the stuff manually, but I've had excellent luck with having it just search for it. It also has the ability to search using Bonjour, which is Apple's way of doing network searching. TiVo Beacon is another thing. So there's a few things you can do. So that's one of the options you have. All right. So once you've got it configured, what happens? Well, you go to your, it'll put a tab up, like about four lines down, with the name of that DVR. And so it'll go to that DVR, give it a few seconds, and it will start pulling down program information. So I can see all of these different programs. And oh, looky, live from Lincoln Center, Renee Fleming at the Penthouse. Oh, I've got to get that one. So all I have to do is click on that line to highlight it, and then say start jobs, which is a green button in the upper left, and I click on it, and by golly, it's going to start downloading it. And what I am going to wind up with when it downloads is a file in my input directory that is just a plain MPEG, an MPG file, because that's really the underlying format for TiVo. Okay, so now I've got this file there that's an MPEG file. And I could just say I'm done. All right, I've downloaded it. I got rid of the DRM or whatever you want to call it that was messing up the file format. It's now playable with any video player. So I could use VLC or Dragon Player or whatever it is that I particularly like to use for all of my videos. However, you might want to do a little bit more. There are two things that you might want to consider at this point. One of them is file size. Okay? A lot of these things end up being like 10 to 15 gigabytes in size. Now, it may depend on whether you're recording something that was in HD to begin with, because those HD files, if something is a 1080p program to begin with, and it's an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours long, you're gonna get an insanely large file size. So that's one of the issues. The other issue is you're just getting the start and stop of the program as it was recorded. So let's say a program is, some of the operas that I like might be, 2 hours and 15 minutes, let us say. Well, there's no 15 minutes kind of setting, so TiVo would have recorded 2.5 hours on that. So I don't need the last 15 minutes of, promos for other programs, etc., etc. So what do I do at that point? Well, that's where I bring up a program. Now, there are a number of ones that can do this. A video editor that I like is called Kden Live, Kdenlive. Now, that's, as you might guess from the name, is kind of a part of KDE in some sense. And you can get it either from your, again, the repository of your distro, or HTTP colon slash slash www.kdenlive.org. Now, the thing I like about it, I've gotten used to it. When you want to edit a program like this, you first have to tell Kden Live, well, what kind of file format resolution should I expect? When you're dealing with video, there are a couple of different variables. One is the frame size. So, for instance, 1080p, that's 1920 horizontal pixels by 1080 vertical pixels. Another common one that's not quite as detailed is 720, or you could get your standard DVD, which is like 520 by 480 or something like that, and so on, even down to standard NTSC. So what'll happen is if in Kden Live, when you open it up, there is going to be, and I'm going to bring that up right now, you're going to have an opportunity to add a program, add a file. And when you do that, it's going to tell you, okay, it's going to be a window there, and you're going to have to take a little bit of time to get used to where everything is. But where I have it, it's a window that says Project Tree, and then at the end of a bar that you could type in, there's something that looks like a little bit of film with a green plus above it, and that's Add Clip. So I can say Add Clip, and then go to my KMTTG slash input directory and select one of the files that I downloaded. And when I do that, it's going to pop up something that's probably going to say, oh, this won't fit the format you've selected because you're in, for instance, right now, if I just open it, NTSC, and so it's going to say, well, this isn't NTSC, this is HD. It's at 1920 by 1080. This won't work. So what I'll do is say, fine, and I'll just click the New button on the upper left. And now when I do that, I can say, select a profile. I can go into Profile and see, yeah, here we go, HD, 1080p. So that's the frame size. The other thing, the other variable is the frames per second, or FPS. How many frames per second is this video? And again, the standard in the United States, NTSC as a US one, would be 29.97 frames per second. You say, why didn't they just round it up to 30? Well, this, neither the time nor the place for me. I knew the answer once. I don't remember it now. But there are a lot, with the, that's for broadcast television, all right? When you're dealing with HD, with digital television, frames per second could be almost anything. They really don't care. I would say get as close as you reasonably can on that, and don't worry. I haven't had any problems. If I selected 30 frames per second and the original was 35 or 40, Kdenlive, Live, as part of the transcoding process, will just sort of figure out how to delete unneeded frames, and what I wind up with is fine. So what you do is you pull that in by adding a clip and then drag it down, because under that project tree there's going to be something that says Video 1, and that's, you could have multiple tracks and edit them together. This is a very powerful program. We're just doing something very simple here. So all we have to do is drag the file down to Video 1 and put it in there. And then at the very bottom, you're going to see some buttons. One of them is the razor tool, another is the spacer tool, and then there's a slider that you can move back and forth that is going to either expand or shrink the amount of data in the window at any one time. And if you move it all the way to the right, then it's like zooming in as much as possible until you can actually see individual frames. If you go all the way to the left, then it's like zooming out, and then you can't see individual frames, but you can move around perhaps a little more easily. And so with the video dragged down into the Video 1, all I have to do is use the pointer, the selection tool, and start dragging the marker until I get to a place where I want to make a cut. And then at that point, I go click on the razor tool, go make the cut. And then if I'm deleting something, just click on it with the selection tool and it'll be highlighted in red, and delete it. And then I can use the spacer tool to basically move the file over to get rid of that blank spot, because I don't want to create a file that has 2 minutes of blank. That really sucks. So the spacer tool lets me drag the whole video over to cover up the blank spot. Now, one of the things that I find helpful when I'm editing is that slider for the zoom level. When I get to where I think I want to make a cut, I start moving the slider over to the right so I can zoom in more and more until I can get just to the frame that I want to make the cut at. So it can really be that precise. You can say, I want to cut at this precise frame. Now, if it's 30 frames per second, that's a pretty high degree of control. Just play around with it. Now, if you don't want to use Kdenlive Live, PTV is another one. PITIVI. I think that's more commonly used by some of the people on the GNOME side. There's other ones out there, but this is what I use, and I'm used to it. And it seems to work pretty well for me. And after all, what else is there in life? And once you have finished editing the file, the last thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to, sorry, let me bring this up again. You're going to want to render it. And there's a button that says Render. And when you render it, you're going to have a number of different options here. And you might want to check those out. If you're going to burn a DVD, then you would want to select a format that is good for DVD, and that would be an MPEG-2, because that's the format that DVD uses. Now, I used to do that. I don't so much anymore. The DVDs start piling up after a while. And one of the things that I was listening to a podcast the other day by someone who was talking about how we've reached the point where no one will ever delete anything because hard drive capacities just keep going up and up. So what I've tended to do now when I render is to simply select a format, and I tend to use XVID. XVID 4 is what is available to me here. And by the way, if you don't have all of these formats, what you might need to do is take a look at adding some of the codecs that you may not already have. But I can select the bit rate, and the bit rate is for video, and that's the only one I bother with. The audio is already set to 128 on my Xvid. For video, if what I have is an HD file to begin with, I'll set the video to 4000. If it was just a normal TV, then I would set it to 2000. And that, for me, that works out okay. There's a trade-off always between bit rate and file size. The higher the bit rate, you're going to get more detailed data, but the file size is going to be bigger. And you know, what I tend to find is, like with my HD, if I have it set to 4000, if I stand up a foot or two away from the TV, I can see the difference. But why would I stand a foot or two from the TV? You know, normally I'm sitting 6, 8, 10 feet away from the TV, and in a case like that, no, I can't see the difference. And so why have larger file size? But that's one of the things you get to decide for yourself. So pick the file size and figure out what you want to do with it. And I think at this point, I have told you pretty much everything I do about all of this. So I want to leave you with one more just reminder here. The Ohio Linux Fest is looking for speakers. We would love to have you come and do a talk for us. I will make sure that we have something in the show notes about that for our it's at ohiolinux.org, and I'll put the URL there. We're looking for all kinds of talks from all kinds of people. They can be beginner talks, they can be advanced, or somewhere in the middle. And we would love to have talks on anything involving free and open source software of various kinds, free hardware, accessibility, I mean, you name it. So I'll direct you to a place where you can see all the things that we're interested in doing. And I'd love to have you submit a proposal for a talk for us. So this is Ahuka signing off. Thanks.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.